So first of all, we want to welcome tonight our great people that are on that live stream. Good evening. Lots of folks are still away, but there's still a good group of folks here tonight. So I thought just to kind of finish off our little Christmas time, I would read something that caught my attention this week. It's from Oscar Romero, the Archbishop, who, as you know, was killed, murdered, and suffered a great martyrdom for his incredible care and love for the poor. This is what he said about Christmas. He said, no one can celebrate a genuine Christmas without being truly poor. The self-sufficient, the proud, those because they have everything, look down on others. Those who have no need, even for God. For them, there will be no Christmas. Only the poor, the hungry, those who need someone to come on their behalf will have that someone. And that someone is God, Emmanuel, God with us. Without poverty of spirit, there can be no abundance of God. Isn't that beautiful? Not so sure it's easy to live. But that's the spirit of that great man, Archbishop Romero. And I think it's the spirit of our particular time in our church. I was reading Time magazine this week, and one of the articles had a Jewish man who said, you know, you don't have to be a Jew to enjoy rye bread, he said. And you don't have to be a Catholic to enjoy and support Francis, our Pope. And it's true. I think that he has called each and every one of us this Christmas in a unique way to do our best, not only to care for our families and the people we love most, but also to have an eye for people even within our family who have some particular need. It may not be a physical poverty. It might very well be something that's just very difficult going on in their lives. Maybe it's an addiction or some struggle or some misunderstanding or whatever it is, something. And that needs a very special care. And so hopefully that's our focus in these great days of Christmas, because we're all looking for that peace and that joy and that celebration of this great time. Our community was alive on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We had fire in every part of this community. Thousands, I think we must have had 10,000 folks here. It was extraordinary. They were in the pavilion, they were in the gymnasium, they were in here, and you were all so good that came and supported and helped and encouraged and welcomed our good people. And of course, I went after them a little bit and said that if you don't come back to Mass this year, at least come to our coffee house. So I'll get you one way or the other this year. It was great just to be able to offer a good welcome to our folks. And the best thing for me was what happened right after the 9 o'clock Mass on Christmas Eve. The Young family, Alan and Sally Young. Alan is was the leader of the Boys and Girls Club for years and years, across the nation actually, but specifically here in Santa Monica. And Sally ran the Y. They're a great family, and every year they would tell me about coming to Midnight Mass. They're not Catholic. They live in the canyon now, in Topanga Canyon, and they're retired, but they love coming to the 12 Midnight Mass. I guess it's the smells and bells of St. Monica's that draws people from a variety of life traditions, but they every year would package about 40 of these gifts, beautifully wrapped in packages. And they would go out about 10 o'clock at night, just before midnight Mass, and just go along Wilshire Boulevard, Olympic Boulevard, up Broadway, around the area, and there'd be lots of folks sitting on these park benches along, not park benches, but street benches along these streets. And so they would just hand out a little gift to these folks on Christmas Eve. And so I went with him this year because I'm trying to learn from that great man, Francis. And so it was so beautiful. I met this woman. She was Polish or I don't know where, from some European country. And she had this, you know, someone I would not expect on a park bench on Christmas Eve in Santa Monica, all wrapped up with a little bundle. And she just looked at me and I handed her this gift and she just kept saying to me, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was wonderful to see that, just a gracious outpouring. Then at 7-Eleven here, you know, our famous 7-Eleven, there was a woman, and I got out of the car, and she looked at me, and she says, Monsignor, can I touch you? And I said, can I touch you? And she said, oh, I love you so much. I mean, those people who struggle in life and look for, now some of them told me to go jump in the lake, but that's okay. It's the joy of that. And so I hope that we hope that's in our heart this Christmas. I think it's a good word. And it's, I think, a word from a shepherd of our church that needs our care and our attention and our continued love. So today is the great feast of the Holy Family. And so we're all here to listen to who got the award this year. I don't have a trophy, but some pastors, I think, get up and give the award to the best family in the parish. And I thought about that, and I said, that's crazy. I mean, you know, every family's got, it's all messed up. We're all struggling. You know, we're all doing our best. And, you know, who's perfect? Give me the perfect family. I mean, maybe you are. I shouldn't have said that. But it strikes me that we're all, you know, communicating, trying to live our lives, trying to understand each other, forgiving each other, taking each day. It's all of that. So I found this. And for me, this is the beautiful story of this day. It's an Irish play entitled Dublin Carol, written by Connor McPherson. And he says, the main character is a man named John. John is his name. He's an undertaker, and he's an aging alcoholic who's trying to downshift from benders and lost weekends to steady but not overly destructive drinking. Lots of luck. It's Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve. And he interacts with Mark, a younger co-worker in the undertaker business, who is showing signs of following in John's drunken ways. And then he meets Mary, a daughter, his daughter, that he's not seen for 10 years. Mary arrives unexpectedly, confesses that she's never stopped loving and hating him, and tells him her mother, his ex-wife, is dying. So John is an acute observer of his own weaknesses, and he reminisces in excruciating detail how his drinking has cost him his entire family. His wife, his son, his daughter. But the daughter has an offer. She will come back for him at 5 o'clock and will collect him and will go together to see his ex-wife and her dying mother. At one point, John strips his office of all signs of Christmas. Puts them up, but saying that it's depressing to have all this Christmas stuff up after Christmas Eve. But as he's waiting for his daughter at 5 o'clock, he puts back the signs of Christmas, washes his face, combs his hair, puts on his coat and hat, and sits in a chair, and he waits. And as a nearby church clock chimes 5, the lights go down and the play is over. Love that. Because, my brothers and sisters, I think on this great feast of Holy Family, the two things that that story says to me, at least, is that his daughter, his own daughter, his own flesh and blood, gave to John a second chance. And it strikes me that in every family, there is a need for someone, some one of us, to give to someone in our family a second chance. I think it's part of every fabric of every family. Someone goes by the by, there's some misunderstanding, they're fighting over money, there is some catastrophe that happens, there's some misunderstanding, and we stereotype, we set, we fix. I did that for my own sister. And I cry over it today, that I fixed her to be one kind of situation and person. And instead of offering the mercy and the love and the gift of a second chance, I never did that. My sisters and brothers, it is essential for every family that some one of you will reach out and touch that person. And for God's sakes, give them, as his daughter gave to John, whether she showed up or not, whether he went out and had a couple more drinks, whether he saw his wife or not, she gave him a little glimmer of hope, a second chance. And the final thought I have, and it's such a simple thought, that every single one of us, my brothers and sisters, all of us, we all have a huge impact. Not on the world stage, but in our own families. Every one of us can make some difference in the lives of our children and our brothers and sisters, our parents and our family, our grandparents. Just whatever little thing we do, it makes a difference. We can't just say, you know, it really doesn't matter. It does matter. Everything matters. And so it's so important for us to live a standard of life that's an example, that gives to especially those in our families what it means to be a member, what it means to give a second chance, what it means to do our best to live in harmony. Certainly failing, certainly making mistakes, certainly not always being present, but making some effort at that. Francis, in 10 months, has changed this world. My God, we can be able to do that, it seems to me, in our families, with those we love. This week, I took 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I went down to Seal Beach. I got down on Wednesday night after Christmas, and I woke up the next morning like a truck. I felt like a truck hit me, because I love you all so much. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I needed to get some exercise, so I got an old bike. I don't have a good bike. I just got an old bike that I love down there at Seal Beach. So I got on this old bike, and I started to trot out flat as a pancake the tire. I'm saying... So I didn't have the time to get it. But the next day I got down to this little bike shop right on Main Street there in Seal Beach. And you know, I have an expectation. This is my frame. My frame of mind is that when you meet people in the world of service anymore, you know, you're really doing them a favor by paying for allowing them to do some little service for you. So I walk in kind of wondering, what's the next person going to be like? That's my frame. It's probably wrong, and I'm wrong for doing it, but that's what I often feel. So I walked into this shop with my old bike, and the guy's looking at my old bike, you know, and he says to me, "Good morning, sir." And I said, "Well, good morning." He said, "How can I help you?" I said, "I beg your pardon." So I showed him my tire. He looked at the tire. He says, "I can do that." Took it up, bing, bang, boom, in 5 minutes. He was talking about Long Beach State, and he's living in Long Beach, and just a young kid. And I said to myself, not a young kid, he's, you know, a younger man. And I said to myself, my God, this is amazing. Instead of saying to Miguel, it'll cost you $50 and come back in 2 weeks and we'll probably get around to get, you know, like, he was doing it right then and there. Couldn't believe it. And when he's finished, he charged me $15, so I handed him 20. And he said, I said, keep the change. He said, pardon me? Thank you so much. I said, thank you. So just at that time, his boss came in. And I looked at this guy that owns the shop. I know him. I said, do you know what kind of a person you have in Aaron? Aaron is spectacular. He looked at me right in the eye. He said to me, yes, I do. Now, here's a guy that in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, all it took an old pastor and just showed him what it means to just care about what you do. So simple, isn't it? I think. So my sisters and brothers, I could go into, I probably should, but I'm not going to because it's too much. But there's a whole exegesis of that gospel. It's a beautiful gospel. It's all about Moses, all about Jesus. It's in Egypt, and they're coming out, and there's freedom. But it's Holy Family Sunday. And we need to pray. We need to pray for those families, our families. We need to be people, I hope, especially to those we love, of the second chance. And we need, I think, especially to be people who hold up for those around us some tiny little sign which will help in that great journey that we're all on. So, I have no trophy for the perfect family on this Sunday at St. Monica's, because I think we're all on this great journey alone. Bless you, thank you, and have a wonderful New Year.